Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. We thank God that one more time, it's of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. So it's good to be here on another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, how good and oh, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then this is the message that St. Paul had for the church when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. So we thank God for all of our Twitter followers, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our Blog Talk friends. So we're just grateful and thankful to be here one more time. So St. Paul says, in his letter to the Ephesians, and we want you to know as we know, because we concur right along with what the Word says, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is his letter to the church at Ephesus. So we thank God for that. So the letters are the children's bread, or we will call them the epistles. They're written to people that are already saved. So you can't just pick up the Bible and start reading it, but you got to stop in the book of Acts where salvation is. And they were born. The Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, which is the fulfillment of Joel 2:28. So we thank God that we're here, and I'm glad to be the spokesman for the King of Glory. We also want you to know that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So if you notice my theme, I always use the Godhead, and that's because there's only one person in the Godhead. As we say, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He didn't stop being God because He became a man. He can never be confined. He can never be what He is not, what He gets done being, what He wants to be, what He always was, what He never ceased to be. He's always God. So we thank God that we know that there is only one God. So it's hard enough, as we would say, to yield ourselves over to one God. I sure don't want to be trying to serve two or three gods. That's ridiculous. So James says in 2 and 19, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So good to know, because everybody don't have that knowledge. So this is what he was about, talking about St. Paul helping the people of God or the saints of God to open up their understanding of who they were and who God is. So it's so very important. So we thank God that we are back in the saddle, as we say. And last week was the first broadcast that I had done in a while. So, but I'm all settled in now. And so I want to do at least several of them every month. So I thank God that for the opportunity, as I say on occasion, that we're able to look, as James says, into the perfect law of liberty. So we don't want to be a forgetful doer, but a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And he says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So that's what we want to do. And then that is be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a newer man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso look into the perfect law of liberty, there it is right there, and you continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And he goes on, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we thank God for those words. So this is, somebody said, basic instruction before leaving earth, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. So that sounds good. So that's what we want, because we want to be able to, like the Hebrew writer, we're going to get to that when he says about us laying aside every weight, you know, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy which was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He goes on here, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Talking about the Son of God. Talking about the incarnate, the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He says, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So, and he was talking about the exhortation, that speaketh unto you as unto children. That's back in the Proverbs, and I believe in the book of Job. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou rebuke to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what sons is it whom the Father chasteneth not? A question. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So he goes on here, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening. Now, no chastening for this present seem to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So just like us, that's what happened. And nowadays, you know, when we were little, we the old school, the baby boomers and the millennials, they were chastised, you know. We were old school, and that's what the Bible says, that the child's heart is bound for foolishness, but the rod of correction to drive it far from it. Chasten your son betimes, which means right away, and you do that, you'll save their soul from hell. So thank God that we got it. You know, like they would say, they use the term, some people used to say a killing when you get a whipping, or beat the devil out of you. So I like that. If when you really literally think about it, if somebody beat the devil out of somebody, then good, then the devil is out. So, I mean, it's kind of humorous in a way, but the point being is the purpose of it. So you don't just, the Bible tells us about fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. So you don't do that. You chastise somebody when it's needed. So God doesn't do us like that. He wants us to reverence him. We have reverential fear, which means we don't fear, we're not shaken in our boots, as they would say, but we have reverential fear. That's the fear of the Lord. That's what Job said. In the man, he says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So that's why we do that, so we understand, because God means what he says and he says what he meant. So the word is what is the judge. So if we see somebody that's weak and stumbling, then we should pray for that individual, not badger them or talk about them, but pray them up. Not put them down, but pray them up. So that's, we got to have the love of God activated in us. That's why he said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So that's what people are looking at and looking for. So they already feel bad. You ain't got to tell a drunk or a crackhead or whatever, kick them down. They're already down. They pray them up, help them, build them up. Let them know that there's somebody and they're better than that, because that's why he came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. St. Paul was writing to Timothy. He says, whereof I am chief. In other words, horrible as I was a religious man. I knew the law, we would say, backwards and forward, because he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. But he was saying how God pleased God to save him. So that's why he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, when he wrote to the church at Philippi. So we got to have some compassion for other people, because we have not always been where we are. But that's why he came, to save sinners. Now, it doesn't matter if you're goody two shoes, we said, you still need to be saved. You know, people think because they don't do anything, but it's the mere fact, because of our Adamic nature, that we need the salvation of God. He can save the guttermost to the uttermost. Them that are high, he came to bring them down, Luke said. Off of their high horse. You're in a bad, low place, he came to bring you up. So everybody is the same. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. So we all need the salvation of the Lord. So it matters not who we are. The same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. So we all need his help. So we've been in the book of Hebrews these last few sessions, and so we're moving along here in the book of Hebrews. And actually, on last week, we started talking, we were in the 10th chapter. But actually, just go back to the 9th a little bit. We're just gleaming, flying on through here as we get to where we want to get to today. We were talking about a testament. So we know that's a will. So where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. And incidentally, and so I used to, I hear people used to say, well, some people will kill their own mother. They don't care what they do for money. And that's why it's 1 Timothy 6 and 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money. Which while some have coveted after have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. Because he was admonishing his son Timothy, who was a pastor in the gospel, to do the right thing. So you can't make money your God. And that was one of the messages that the Lord Jesus Christ made plain during his earthly ministry when he said, no man can serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other, you hold to one, and despise the other. And then he went on to make it plain, you cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is money. So some people do anything for it. That is not what we are supposed to do, because he told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So that being said, just going right back here, where a testament is or will, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And we know he gave his life and to bring in the new covenant built upon better promises. And that's the key word in the book of Hebrews. Better. That's what the new covenant is all about. But I just bringing that in just to let you know. So some people do anything because they take out insurance policies on people, and then it's not going to be do them any good until the person is dead. And so they don't care. It's a bunch of heartless people. And then so we have to realize this has been going on a long time. Because of envy, because of a lot of reasons, people want people out of here. And that's what happened with Cain. He killed his brother Abel, because God accepted and had respect unto Abel's sacrifice. And unto Cain, he didn't, because he was supposed to bring an offering of blood. He didn't bring the right sacrifice like he was supposed to God. And so this has been going on a long time. The brother, that was the first murder. So we say kill, but murder is a legal term. So legal, just like they one of the Gospels, and I believe it was in Luke, when he writes in the book of Acts, how he said he made a statement. He said, you murdered the Prince of Life. That's a legal term. So in other words, you meant to do it. Like they say, iniquity, I meant to do it. That's what was found in Lucifer in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. He said, until the day iniquity was found in thee. So he wanted to try to overthrow God. He did it on purpose. So God is not playing with nobody, but he loved us so, because he don't want us to be lost. So people say, you know, some people just like I was mentioning, and I mentioned on last week, I believe, and I mentioned it again on this evening, that the worst sin and the reason why Israel couldn't enter in is because of unbelief. Well, we read that back in the third chapter of Hebrews, I believe it was. Yes, in the last verse. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So this actually, the reference of this quote, of those verses, previous verses there, in the third chapter of Hebrews, is from the 95th Psalm. So they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. So we go on here talking about a testament. I kind of got on there talking about money and motives and or what people will do, but primarily to be true to the text. He's talking about his death. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I believe in the 12th chapter of St. John, he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so he was talking about himself. He was talking about his impending death, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the first fruits of them that slept. And so the death of a child of God is not, you're not dead, but you're asleep. And that's what he said about Lazarus. He said he was dead, but he said he was asleep. I'm going to go that I may awaken him. Then so they said, if he's dead, he doeth well. They thought he was, if he's asleep, he doeth well. They thought he was speaking of asleep. It's like taking a nap. So he says, no, he is dead, but I'm going to go and awake him. So to the child of God, it's sleep. And like one of our bishops said many years ago, when you think of it, those that are dead in Christ is going to be as though it was overnight when the Lord wakes everybody up. Because where you died in time, that's where you were. That's where it stops. So a lot of people, they didn't go, like the age that we're in now with all the technology and everything that we have, some people don't know anything but what they see now. That is the millennials. And then I think the other group was the group, like my children and all, they would be Generation X, some of them. And then depending on what their age group is, they would be millennials. But I say the millennials just for sake of conversation. They don't know anything but the technology age. We didn't have phones. You call somebody, you were hoping they were at home, or if they had an answering machine, which very few people had. But what a leap that we have taken! It's a leap of faith too, I guess you could say, because faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's word has come to pass. So we're heading on up, right up into the time when the church is going to be taken out of here and the wicked one shall be revealed, talking about the man of sin. He's going to be sitting in the temple in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. He was saying the mystery of iniquity. So that, like we were talking about iniquity, I meant to do it. Doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. So he who hindereth will hinder. Talking about the Holy Ghost, talking about the church, talking about the saints, talking about the people of God. Is the devil is working, he's acting just like he came out of hell, just like what he is, but he really can't work like he really want to work until the church is taken away. And that's when St. Paul, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the brightness of his coming. You know, talking about even him who is working is after the working of Satan with all deceivableness and lying wonders of them that receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So that's in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. But anyway, going on here, so at we are in the time of the coming of the Lord, because we're talking about sleep and talking about testament and talking about a testator. So all of that just comes into being. But anyway, he goes on here, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Now that's under the law. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood and of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, we kind of made, I'm trying to like back, bring you up to date from where we were last week, because we mentioned That's why you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so should you desire to call in, if you have a comment or if you have a question, you can call in. And our call-in number, our guest call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So I got to get used to that I'm back now and put that number up. So should anyone desire to call in today, June the 14th, 2017, during this live Blog Talk Radio broadcast. And so, because we want you to receive the salvation of God, like we ask at least once or twice during the telecast, you got to ask yourself the question. And that is, like St. Paul asked the disciples when he passed through the upper coast at Corinth, and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So that's so very important, because the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of your inheritance. You got to be born again. And the great mystery, even about a natural birth, one thing the doctor is looking for the baby to do after the baby comes out of the womb. I don't know if it's right after they cut the umbilical cord or what what's in what order is what I'm trying to say. But one thing that the great mystery of life that they are looking for the baby to do, and that is to cry. And that's what the Bible says. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that is, somebody said, Daddy. So when you're born again and the day of Pentecost is fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, or divided tongues, like as of fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it doesn't matter. You're not going to speak in your native tongue. You're going to speak in another tongue or another language. That's interesting, because some people are bilingual. So they're not going to speak in either of those languages that they know. But when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're going to speak in another tongue. So as the Spirit gives them the utterance. So here, just trying to take you back to where we are today. So we were talking about the sacrifice, and we know what he did. So he didn't just die, but he came back and made you, like I made mention, somebody wants someone to have something in a will or a testament, will, self same thing. They write it. They hope after their demise, after their death, that whoever is in the will, it'll be granted. Their wishes will be granted. Their requests, what they have written, will be granted to the one or individuals that they want to have it after their death. But the Lord, he died, he rose again, he came back and made sure that we got the will. So I just like to strike a death lick in the face of the devil, and that is some people are confused. You don't have to be confused. So with the translations, that did not diminish God from being God. Because you got a group of people that came out in the last number of years saying everything got to be Hebrew. And it doesn't matter. Everybody is not a Hebrew. God, there are so many different languages all over the world. And I'm told that the King James Version is the closest to the original manuscript. Well, I tell you what, it works. I've been in this ministry. I've been saved for more than 40 years. I'm in my 41st year. So he's real. It doesn't matter. We don't know what we shall be in that day when he shall appear. John says, now are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And he goes on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then he goes on and says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Talking about the rapture, talking about the catching away of the church. He's going to appear. A lot of people say be ready for him in the second coming. No, the second coming is when he literally going to step foot on the Mount of Olives and crack it in half. He's going to, the second coming, Jude got a glimpse of that. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So the second coming, the saints are going to be with him. The church is going to be with him. That's when he's going to fight the battle of Armageddon, which it's called Armageddon in the Hebrew tongue, but literally is known as the Mount of Slaughter. So he goes on here, every man that, so he says, we don't know where we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then verse 3 in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, he says, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So some people don't like it because the Bible is written in the masculine gender. But you got to realize he's talking about mankind. It doesn't matter because in the church you're neuter gender. You're neither male nor female in the church. And that's why we're going to be changed. We're going to have a body like unto his glorious body, whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. And so that's why we want to be right. And so he was saying, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So that, notice now, the E-T-H on the end of that word, committeth, that means committed. He keeps on doing it. So not saying if somebody makes slips and does something, you can get it right. That's why the Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins. He's talking about church people, not for ours only, but for the sins also for the sins of the whole world. That's for 1 John 2 and 2. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So propitiation is for us, or forgiveness of sins, or confession of sins. That's the word I'm looking for. Confession of sins is for the people of God, but remission of sins is for a sinner. You need to have your sins remitted. That's why you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So you don't have to keep getting baptized. So confession of sins is for the people of God. And then also, even in the Old Testament, it's open confession is good for the soul. Sometimes you have to tell on the enemy. You have to tell on people who keep putting their mouth on people. So because he called us out of darkness, this is what Peter said, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he called us out and saved us. So God is saving people. God is a mighty God. And I like to say, God has jewels that he has not showed off yet. So too many times people are putting their mouths on people. And it's the same mission, but God has gifted people that he's bringing into the body of Christ. And he's bringing them in. And he's brought some in years back. And they're gifted people. And sometimes they get people, you could get, and during my time, people, if you listen to folks and went on the way you felt, I would have been gone. But you got to realize who saved you and who you are serving. So we're here for the purpose of God. We go through different changes, but you got to keep on moving forward because nobody can be you but you. Nobody can complete the mission or the ministry that the Lord gave you but you. So we are helpers one to another. So this we see even in the book of Acts, Aquila and Priscilla, they were a couple that were they helped a man by the name. This man was eloquent in the scriptures. His name was Apollos. He was at Corinth. You know, he mightily convinced the Jews and that publicly that Jesus was Christ. After Aquila and Priscilla pulled him to the side and explained unto him the word of God more perfectly, because he was eloquent in the scriptures, but he knew only the baptism of John, or John the Baptizer. So as we're going on here, we're talking about a better way in Christ. So we're talking about the law having a shadow of good things to come, not verily the image of things can never take away with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. But because they were that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. And we went on, we were talking about how he made himself a body. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And you can see, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God. And when he saith, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sins thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So he goes on to hear, by the will, the which will we have sanctified, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's why he says, wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I'll write them their sins, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So he's talking about even back then, I made mention on last week about the high priest. When he went in once a year, he had to offer for himself and then for the sins of the people. So they put a rope around him. They have these bells on. And so if they didn't hear those bells ringing when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, they can't go in there and get him if God killed him. Because that's why he said he got to go in there right, that he die not. So if he's dead, they don't hear them bells or palm grenades. The bells, as we know, that they make noises. So they don't hear that. They got that rope around him. They can pull him out. He didn't go in there right. He died. So somebody else got to go in there. He better be right that he die not. But we don't have to do that. No more. So he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He gave himself. He was a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. His body. So the blood is in his name. So he goes on here having an high priest over the house of God. So he is the great high priest. This is what the writer says earlier in subsequent previous chapters that I read. He is our great high priest. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So that's why the writer said we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. So in other words, what he's saying, the one that we have, he can be touched. So that's why we can tell him how we feel, because he, being tempted, the writer says, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Or that word succor or succor means help. So he, being tempted himself, is able to help them that are tempted. And also, he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. That's why he goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that he may obtain mercy and find grace to help, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So you don't need mercy for certain things until you need mercy. So you're walking day by day. So if you need grace and mercy in the time that you need it, he is able to give it to you. That's why he wants you to come to the throne of grace and ask him. And also, in Matthew 11 and 28, that's when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe that's Matthew 11 and 28. So we can come to him because he can help us. He's not dead, somebody said, but he is alive. That's why he told the church in Revelation, I'm he that liveth and was dead, but behold, or look at me, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. What is that? Not no literal keys, but I have the power and I have the authority. So as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself took likewise of the same, that through death he might take the death out of the hands of him that had it, that is the devil. We read that on last week. So he took the power of death and hell from the enemy, which Adam had gave over to him when he sinned against God by being disobedient, by eating of the tree in the midst of the garden, which God commanded him not to eat. So God had a way made for us all of the time. So that's why when I read my intro, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that's why, notice now, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's not going to, the door is not going to, the door of salvation is not going to always be open. That's why Peter wrote in his second letter, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this is what we have to do. The day of the Lord will come in the thief as the night, which the heaven's going to be on fire, the earth's going to melt, going to be burned up with fervor and heat. Nevertheless, we look for a better covenant, a new heaven and new earth, he says. This is in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, like they say, some people don't believe in global warming. A lot of people, it doesn't matter what you don't believe. And this is what St. Paul was saying when he was writing to the Romans. What if some do not believe? Should their unbelief make the faith of God a non-effect? God forbid. What he's saying is, it doesn't matter if you don't believe. That's not going to make the faithfulness of God without effect. God's word is true. He made a promise to Abraham. We made mention of that in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, where he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, which means he swore to himself or he swore alone. It doesn't matter. God cannot lie. If God told you something, it's going to come to pass because he's God. He cannot lie. So the question is, here, what we get in trouble is, did God say it? Because people are, Lord told me this. Lord, God is saying what his word said. But if God does speak audibly at times, but if God says something, it's going to come to pass. Nobody can stop him. He is superior. He is supreme. He trumps everybody. So, again, if should you desire to call in, our call-in number 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. You are welcome should you desire to call in on this broadcast on today. So we are serving a faithful God. He can't lie. So we go on here. So he's talking about sin. The sin question has been dealt with through his death, burial, his resurrection. He showed who he was when he brought people back from the dead, stopped funeral processions, and raised people from the dead. See, God doesn't change. In the days of Elijah, he raised people from the dead. In the days of Elisha, he raised people from the dead. Talk about the same God. It's the same God in that body called the Son of God. Remember saying the Son of God came from the seed of the woman. That's when he said in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman going to bruise his head, you're going to bruise his heel. So Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Luke 1:35, that holy thing, Mary is going to say, how is it going to be? How shall these things be? Seeing I know not a man. Because remember in the book of Isaiah, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he was letting her know the power of the high is going to overshadow thee, going to come upon you. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1:35. So important. God didn't stop being God. He can appear in any form he want to appear in because he is God. So he got up from the dead. So that's why he was saying, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So having a high priest over the house of God. So he is the great high priest. Incidentally, when you think there's three offices that's got to be fulfilled. The first one was prophet. The Lord was the prophet. And that's the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of St. John. Aren't you a prophet? That's what she was wondering. Jesus said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you had five. And the one that you have now is not your husband. That's when she said, I perceive you are a prophet. That's why she went and told the men of the city, come see a man that told me all ever I did. It's not this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So he was a prophet. He is the priest right now that ever liveth to make intercession for us. So somebody said, like in the 22nd chapter of Luke, when Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that I've already prayed. I prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. So sometimes people say, well, the Lord is praying for me now. You better pray for yourself. But what the praying that God is doing for us right now is in the office of the priesthood, and that is he's interceding through people. So how many of us are intercessors? Sometimes we have to intercede for other people. So, because we are, Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. We are the body of Christ. So, He's interceding for us now. So we, as people of God, we better yield ourselves. Whatever gift that you have, and everybody can pray, and it is the will of God that we all pray. So he'll hear our cries. So that's why we want to keep ourselves pure. That's what St. Paul told Timothy, keep thyself pure. So you want to keep yourself right, because he told us to be instant in prayer. So that's quicker than a microwave. So in other words, we're ready all the time. Sometimes it don't take much. Jesus, we can say it. We can call on his name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That's how that scripture goes. So we got to realize who we are and whose we are and who we are serving. So he goes on here, let us draw near with a true heart of in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith, our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Remember I was saying when he was writing to the church at Rome, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. That's what he was saying. So God is faithful. Their unbelief is not going to make his faithfulness of none effect. So he goes on here, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and the good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as their manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That's talking about us coming together. Now, he's with us when we're not together, but we come together because we are a body. We come together. God set it to solitary in family. So you know that word we always used to remember when we hear, when we were little, some things you hear and you think. You may hear somebody talking about it. He's in solitary confinement. The word solitary, you're by yourself. But Psalm 68 and verse 6 says, God setteth, that E-T-H, the solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Now, the dry land has reference to a desert. In a dry land, you're out there by yourself, you're in the desert. In the desert, there is no living water. Where there's no living water is, you will die. Talking about spiritually, you will die where there's no living water. So in other words, you're not, ain't no, that's why Peter, when he wrote, he says, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. He goes on to say, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So it's not just off the top of our head, but it's written what we are saying. So he goes on here, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, which means he's not going to go back to Calvary and die again. So in other words, he didn't do that for naught. So we don't want his death to be in vain. It's going to be in vain for a lot, for many people. Some people are not going to repent till they get cast. The angels are going to cast people into the lake of fire in Revelation, the 20th chapter. They're not going. They don't want to go. People say, hell yes, hell yeah. Like I said before about, I used to tell people when I did prison ministry, people say that. I said, that you've got to be out of your mind. Nobody in their right mind want to go to hell. St. Matthew 25:41, he says, curse ye into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So was it even made for us? But people are going to go there because they're doing their own thing. They don't care what nobody say. You can't tell them nothing. We can see that today in Washington, D.C. Some people are of the attitude and of the mindset and of the hard-heartedness that they never do wrong. You know, everybody's lying on them or making up stuff on them. I mean, that's a ridiculous state to be in. But God has dealt with Nebuchadnezzar's, he's dealt with Pharaoh's, and he's dealt with Herod's before. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, Proverbs 21 and verse 1. As the rivers of the water, he turneth whithersoever he will. So you got to realize that the Lord is in charge. And like somebody said, what if the Lord take over? Said the question, who was in charge before the Lord took over? He was always in charge. So we thank God for that. So he goes on here, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. And he makes reference here back to the under the law. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite the Spirit of grace. So in other words, you don't want to go back and be to where you were and make a mockery out of the cross of Christ. Like people be saying, oh, I thought you were saved. No, I am. So in other words, it doesn't matter. Like I said, if you fall down, get back up and run for your life. Get yourself straight. Get yourself restored. And run for your life. Don't stay down because you made a mistake. We all need the grace of God. I've been over here for the time that I have. I haven't thought right all the time, but you just got to get yourself right. We're human beings, but he gave us the power to make it. And that's why Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the... Because he said, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So in other words, when you get saved, this is our judgment. We're being judged right now. That's how we're going to be raptured out of here. We're not going to stand before the great white throne. If you're in the church, the dead in Christ, you're in Christ whether you're dead or you're alive. That's why you get it, like the songwriter says, are you in the church triumphant? Are you in the Savior's bride? Have you been baptized into the body and forever thereby? So you're walking with God. You're doing right. It doesn't matter. We don't look at perfect. People say, none of us perfect. He told us to be. So in other words, that has to do with spiritual maturity when he uses the word perfect. But we're almost out of time here. On today, and we got to fly on here. So we know him that saith, vengeance belongeth unto me, I recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days which you were illuminated. You endured a great fight of afflictions, partially while you were made a gazing stock by both reproaches and afflictions, partially while you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back, who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the souls. So that's going to do it on today. So we hope, thanks for listening to Truth. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And as I've said before, I do have a very timely question, and that is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? God bless you.